You're very welcome into the first episode of hopefully many episodes of Podcast Pending. I'm joined around the table by David Roach.
Hello.
Brian Collin.
Hello.
Sean McGuinness.
Hello.
And Kieran Shanahan.
Hello.
So this week to start off, we're going to be talking about A Good Day to Die Hard, probably the fact that the Pope resigned this week and any other news and interesting stuff that came up during the week as well. We'll get things started by going straight into Die Hard.
First time in Moscow?
Yeah.
Know what I hate about the Americans? Everything. Especially cowboys.
If you can't win.
Knock, knock.
A Good Day to Die Hard.
It was crap.
All right, I went to see it last night. I feel like I've been cornered now. So I'll get all your opinions first. David, you've probably been the most vocal in saying that you hated it.
It's awful. I think it's terrible travesty to mankind. Because the other day when we were talking about it, everyone said that it was a grand film, and you think it's a good film, don't you?
I think it's fine.
I thought that everyone always defends it by saying that it's a good film, it's just not a diehard film. And yeah, it's just like, I thought of something kind of witty the other night. It's not going to come out witty, but it's kind of like the horse meat thing, isn't it? We think we're eating pork, but it's not pork. You know, we think we're getting Die Hard. It's not fucking Die Hard. You know?
Yeah, but you say like Casino Royale is a good film, but it's not a Bond film.
I think Casino Royale is a really good Bond film.
I don't like this thing where people are, yeah, like you said, people are saying, oh, it's a good film, you know, it's not a Die Hard film, but it's a good film.
Yeah, so why is it called Die Hard then?
Yeah, no, it's like people are saying like it'd be the same as Taken 2, you know.
I think it's a bit harsh to compare it to Taken 2.
Well, it has that whole Russian vibe.
Yeah, it has this kind of, you know, John McClane. Well, I suppose Taken was already, the first Taken was already in like France, whatever. Yeah. Mm. But
people should take issue with the fact as well that Russians really aren't the bad guys anymore. I mean,
I think we're kind of going back into the whole Russians are bad guys thing now. Because we're running out of people.
Yeah.
But I kind of found they were trying to remake the first Die Hard. Because a lot of the references.
We'll try
not to spoil any of it for people who haven't seen it.
Well, there's no actual storyline to the film, so you can't really give away anything.
Yeah.
It's just a sequence of sporadic things and then saying, I'm on vacation every now and every 20 seconds.
Some of those lines didn't even seem like they were actually said there and then. They kind of just stuck them in.
Post-production.
Has anyone caught this as well? I think, you know, near the start of the film when that Russian guy knocks over John McClane, he gets up, he comes out, he's giving out to him.
Yeah.
John McClane hits him, and it's the fakest sounding punch I've ever heard in my life.
It's the movie punches. It's like,
yeah.
It didn't even sync up well with the punch.
But stuff like that, it just was a sham of a film. And I think it's all down to Bruce Willis.
He was the worst thing in it.
No. What I'm saying is like he's a back in the day. You know, he was a rising star. He had to prove himself in Die Hard. You know. Yeah. Coming up to Die Hard 5, basically, you can tell from the last few films, or last few years, you know, any film he's in, he has to see what's going on with it, you know. Basically, Die Hard 5, he had to sign off on the director or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
He could have asked for a better director, he could have asked for a better script, he could have put in a better performance.
That's more money, though.
The whole thing.
But hasn't he?
I'm sure he got paid enough money.
Has he not had a lot of creative control for the Die Hard franchise in general, though?
But yeah, but you have to care about the character to do something with it.
I think he does care about the character, and I think that in this new film, I just glued, no matter what was going on with the film, I glued my eyes to Bruce Willis because I just was like, this is so far away from Die Hard, I'm just going to have to pin my eyes on him and try and get some of the witty lines or some kind of, you know, the stuff that made the first one so good. And,
but it felt very forced, though, all the wittiness in it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, in the first one, when he's climbing through the vent, it's really kind of, come to the city, yeah, if you laugh. That's really kind of funny. But in this one, it kind of seems like he's just pushing it out. Yeah, I have to be John McClane in this film.
I don't think it was as bad as you think it was, but even that kind of really stood out, that a lot of his dialogue was just witty lines that they kind of, we have 20 really funny lines for him to say, let's just put them all into the script. Doesn't matter where they go.
I watched the first one a while ago the other day, and there's a line in it and I never knew it was in it, and it's the one he's fighting the, you know, the very 6 foot fella with the blonde hair and he kills his brother in the first film, Carl. And he's beating the shite out of Carl anyway, and they're fighting around, they're throwing chains at it and sort of stuff, and eventually Bruce Willis gets the upper hand and he kind of bringing him up the stairs, and as he's punching him up the stairs he says, I'm gonna fucking kill you. then I gotta fucking cook you, and I gotta fucking eat you. And I was like, Jesus, I don't even remember that line at all. Like, but it's said really quickly, and I just thought, that's brilliant. Like, I mean, it doesn't make any sense, but it's just kind of sporadic anger. It just seems everything else in the films afterwards is kind of structured too much.
Well, I was saying to you,
seemed very fluid in the first film.
Saying to you yesterday, it's more character development in the first one. I mean, he's just a cop, and he comes in, and all this crazy shit starts happening.
Yeah, it misses a lot of that.
Yeah, like, we'll say he kills everyone now. Like, you know, any guy who looks slightly Russian and might be a terrorist, he shoots him.
What was it, like 12 terrorists in the first one or something?
Yeah,
or
15, maybe. Hans and Fritz and Carol.
I say to you, the first death, I think, in that film is Carol's brother.
Yeah.
And it accidentally falls down the stairs and breaks his neck.
That's what I thought. See, I wasn't very happy with the fourth one when it came out. I'd consider it to be grand.
It's the second highest one on Rotten Tomatoes.
It is. And I can't believe that people think the third one is bad.
I think the third one's got 57%
of Rotten Tomatoes. I thought that's my second favourite one.
Like, hang on, Rotten Tomatoes now. There's not going to be as many reviews as the older films.
I'm just going to bring it up and say that Rotten Tomatoes, the argument was made in another review I was listening to, where he made the argument that Rotten Tomatoes, the user reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, have A Good Day to Die Hard at about 86%, but the critics' reviews have it at 12%. And then we don't really like basing it on Rotten Tomatoes because it varies so much.
It's the same with IMDb. Like, I mean, it's still at 6.2, whereas it should be minus 126.
It's very rare you'll find a film on IMDb that's at like 3 or 4. To ask you, like, I thought it was okay, but you all thought it was bad. What did you like about it?
Die Hard.
Beyond,
absolutely nothing. Maybe one redeeming feature would be the car chase at the start, but I saw this
interview with Bruce Willis this morning, and your man asked him, when will you stop making Die Hard films?
Yeah.
And he said, when people don't want to see John McClane running very slowly, when I'm going to, like, you know, when I can't run fast, then I'll stop making them.
But he went,
good. I think he should be given the chance to redeem himself. Because I think if they went back to basics, now everyone always says go back to basics, but with a franchise that's gone haywire. But if they went back to basics and just nailed it for the sixth one, you'd have a brilliant first one, a really good second one, a brilliant third one, a grand fourth one, just a complete bomb.
And then a Rocky Six,
like a redeeming Rocky. I like Rocky Six.
Look at Fast and the Furious. The first one was, I liked the first one. That was really good. The second was atrocious. Third one was terrible. The third one was the worst.
And then it came out of nowhere.
And then the fifth one was one of the best films I probably saw last year. Yeah. It was absolutely fantastic.
But that's John McClane. Like, I mean, if they just really saved him, like, I mean, I think Bruce Willis can do it as well. Like, he does seem to be getting a bit stiffer though.
You have the advantage of having something like James Bond, where every so often a new actor steps in and plays the role. Like, you know, you can bring Daniel Craig along and you can have Casino Royale and it's fresh and stuff like that. But can you do that with a franchise like Die Hard? Could you actually start again with the new actor?
I got the feeling, he was fine. But
I got that feeling they were trying to bring the son as the new John McClane.
That's something I did get worried about watching it. I got the feeling, like, if it comes to it and they attempt to reboot this when Bruce Willis is out the pasture and he's not around anymore at all. But I just get the horrible feeling that they're getting ready to relaunch it with the son.
I don't think we'll ever see a good Die Hard film again. I think the only way to get a good Die Hard film is for this new one to bomb. And basically, you know, no studio is going to finance a new Die Hard film if it bombs. And if it does well, they're going to go ahead and just give the money. If it does well, they're going to go, right, same, you know, if it's not broke and don't fix it. They don't give a shit about the reviews.
There's so many aspects to these films. I thought the fourth one was grand, but when I came out of the fifth one, I thought the fourth one was a masterpiece standing next to it. And it's just like, where do they find these directors? Like, we were saying that as well, you know, I mean,
John Moore's record as a director: Behind Enemy Lines, Flight of the Phoenix, The Omen, Max Payne, and now A Good Day to Die Hard.
Flight of the Phoenix, it's a remake of an older film.
Oh yeah, I know, I've seen Dennis the original Quaid, Jeremy
Quaid,
Star and all, yeah, they got that.
Giovanni Ribisi and Dennis Quaid and some other filler cast.
Actually, your man House is in it, isn't he?
Hugh
Laurie.
We'll have to wrap up the Die Hard one. So I'll ask you, out of five, Kieran, what would you give it?
Two.
Two, Sean?
Probably about two, yeah.
Zero.
Jesus.
Two.
Oh, I give it two because it's a film.
I give Die Hard four.
I'm gonna be diplomatic here. I'm gonna say one.
You're gonna say one. Yeah, I would have given it two, even though I would consider it a film. It wasn't too bad.
It passed an hour and a half.
I didn't like it, but I didn't.
Oh, I'm sorry. Out of five. Out of five. Or out of 10 there, I'd say 0.
You've gotten all the reasons there anyway not to go see A Good Day to Die Hard. Yeah. Is it even worth coming out, seeing it on DVD, if you're a Die Hard fan?
Look, if you want to lose all your friends and your girlfriend, bring him to see it.
That's kind of weird because we all saw that together.
If you recommend it to someone, like we all convinced Thomas there to not go see it, but he said, it's Die Hard, I have to go see it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because of the name. You're going to see it because of the name, regardless whether it's good or bad. Everyone's kind of just going to go see it, so it'll probably be a massive success.
It's like, you know, you think you're buying Denny's sausages and you're getting
Galty.
Denny's purebred stallion.
There you have the verdict on A Good Day to Die Hard.
Shit.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
All right, and in the other news this week, probably the biggest news of the week, and it was a big week. We had a meteor, we had a murder.
That was a couple of meteors, two big ones.
But probably the biggest story right from the start of the week was last Monday, and the story that the Pope has decided to resign, the first Pope to resign in, 600 years?
I believe that he did that.
A huge headline right now, we see Pope Benedict XVI just moments ago making this historic announcement. He's speaking in Latin to a group of cardinals and announcing his resignation.
And I remember reading the statement saying that he wanted to really pursue his NASCAR career. And I was thinking, I mean, fair play to him. At his age, yeah. you know, resigning the papacy, really going for NASCAR is just all the more power.
I got sick of him doing laps around the Vatican every day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's not a big place either, you know. And he only got like a pedal powered car, so
yeah, it does sound a bit. It is kind of weird. It is weird to see your Pope resign. Do you think there is something going on? That something is going to come out.
I thought he had Alzheimer's or something. That was kind of a report.
They said he was. He'd
give a mass twice because he forgot he gave it the first time.
He gives a good long mass.
He gives somebody 8 communions. It's like, Jesus, man. I'm stuffed.
I can't even continue from that one.
Has he taken up a position anywhere else? I didn't actually read into
it.
He's just gone.
Funny enough, he's the only guy I've ever seen, I've heard of, that went from being a liberal to being a conservative.
Yeah, you were telling me that the other day. That's insane. Like, I mean, to go from being Al Gore to George Bush is a massive step. Yeah. Like, and it's just, where did that come out?
It's some sort of defense of the faith type thing.
Yeah. That's everyone kind of unanimously liked Pope John Paul II.
Oh, John Paul was just, he was the man.
Yeah, and he like came over to the people of Ireland, I love you and all that. And
I
came over.
I love you, dude.
It's funny how you go directly from a guy who lived in World War II Poland and was actually hit by an SS truck at one stage in his life to a guy who used to be in the Hitler Youth.
Pope versus Pope.
I thought that was strange. In the papers during the week when the story came out, I was like, here was a picture of Pope Benedict during World War II in the uniform. I was like, you mean when he was in the Hitler Youth? Do you just not want to print that part?
Did you always say during World War II? Yeah. First thing that came into my head when they said he was resigning was that they found something, and that if it came out while he was still the Pope.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that if it came out while he was still the Pope, it would shake the whole church and he'd be gone. Now that he's gone, if whatever they found comes out, which would probably still be a long shot, that they could still say the former Pope and the new Pope can denounce it.
I always thought you had to go out with the Pope office in a box, basically. I mean, John Paul Bruce Willis from Die Hard 1, was he, by the end?
It'd have to be something huge.
Yeah,
like if you're of ill health and you're going to die, you may as well die as the Pope. Don't resign while you're dying.
But I thought you couldn't. I thought the only way, as Sean said, was you had to kind of go out.
That's the thing. That's what they won't really confirm or deny. Yeah. They're not coming out and saying, "Oh, here's exactly why." They're saying
you couldn't really say he couldn't perform his duties, like, because John Paul really just limited himself after a while.
Yeah,
and then eventually he
had a good couple of years. Like when he became the Pope, like he did plenty of stuff. And then as the years kind of winded down towards the end of the 90s. He kind of did less and less, and you could see he was getting really old, and all he could do was barely look up and say a mass. But Benedict was like that all along.
Yeah, well, he had a pacemaker before he even became Pope.
I think he had balls though to do it. I mean, like, yeah, obviously he has to. Why not get someone in who can actually do a job? I mean, like, it's not like it's an easy job or anything. You know, he's getting old. Although I did love the resignation speech. It sounded like an exorcism. Did you hear it? He was speaking in Latin, and the resignation speech was kind of like, you know, I renounce my office in the papacy or whatever, you know. But I was waiting to hear, like, you know, I renounce the Catholic Church and all its teachings.
You know? Out, demon.
Yeah. Totally embrace Satan and all his works.
Yeah.
If you're kicking me out and taking you all down with me.
Yeah, exactly.
It turned out now he's doing like a Cat Stevens and he's going to change his name. Joseph Islam.
My favourite one was that he's leaving because he's going to play Emperor Palpatine in Star Wars Episode 7.
He's shockingly like him already. Yeah.
I mean, that's at least 10 years worth of good Photoshop's gone down the toilet now.
Exactly.
We'll need a really good looking guy for the next.
Pope now.
Nearly eight years. Yeah.
One of the oldest popes.
Yeah, April 2005, yeah.
We're always going back to John Paul, but it's just hard not to.
John Paul
so
had
dreamy.
A good 30, 40 years. If you think of when the Eucharistic Congress
was in Ireland.
79
or something, I think, didn't he?
Now, when they did, when they got Benedict in, like, he was already ancient. They got him kind of, I was thinking to myself, they're only looking at 3 or 4 years till they can find a proper replacement, you know?
Yeah.
They're saying now we could have the first black pope.
Yeah,
and I think that would lead to some stuff like, you know,
the end of the world.
But no, contraception being legalized.
Yeah, because of the African HIV situation. And stuff like that. I mean, you're assuming he's African. He could be from Donegal.
Senegal, isn't it?
Sure, I wouldn't know I'm from Senegal.
But there is that story that went around. I can't remember. You know, you see all these all the philosophers years ago and they'd say, I predict such and such a thing will happen. I think it was Jamie was saying it last night.
That was me, ma'am.
That was...
Am said there's a prophecy. The lady of Fatima or whatever appeared to these children and said that he gave out all these prophecies. And the last one that she said was that the church would collapse. And man thinks, this is my man now, she thinks, mad Christian, she thinks that that the church has kind of collapsed a bit because of the, you know, the sex scandals and all those things. And it is losing all its power and eventually going down. And eventually, what it says in this prophecy is at the end of the. Of this collapse, that they'll elect a black pope, and at the end of his reign, the church will be gone. Mm. Now, I remember hearing about this in school and thinking, and somebody said it to me, but what they said was, they'll elect a black pope, and at the end of his reign, the whole world will end. So it's like, right, okay. It's kind of, you know.
So we'll have to watch it. We'll have to watch
actually,
out for that
you know, one. This leads to the question, is the Virgin Mary a racist?
And we'll leave it on that one. We'll look for citation on the whole black pope thing so we don't look like racists. But I found it here. Yeah, it's a pretty big story.
I think it's absolutely great to see. I mean, the level of commitment amongst the African church in bringing the faith to the people is just wonderful. It's marvellous, isn't it?
Sure, I wouldn't know. I'm from Donegal.
Next news for this week. Well, we have the probably predictable big PlayStation 4 reveal coming up in a week, but one of the bigger ones that's going around at the moment and the bigger rumours, although none of them will confirm or deny it, is that a lot of the new consoles are going to block pre-owned games.
I saw that, yeah.
And Sony have had the patent for a good 3 or 4 years. They bought it off some guy who whatever came up with it, a way to do it. But Microsoft are kind of putting the feelers out as well to say whether or not people would agree with it, disagree with it. GameStop came out and said everyone will be against it. No one will buy the consoles
they'd
if it's
have
like
to say that.
That
wouldn't they? I mean, it's their whole.
They'll
business.
Have to. It's their entire business. But I'll ask you, like, what do you think? Do you think it's worthwhile actually blocking
Microsoft
them?
Microsoft are basically you have to be connected to the internet the whole time you're playing games. So basically, when somebody puts in a disc, the code is then sent to a database. So if someone else puts that disc into another Xbox, it won't work. That's as easy as it is.
But EA have been doing this for years with PC games.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have... I have Spore and Mass Effect 1, and you can only install them on a PC 3 times. And, like, no matter...
But if you're telling me there's massive spyware and that they kind of install stuff in the root directory...
That was just with Mass Effect 1.
What drives me up the wall is it... They're doing it for some kind of financial thing, but it just causes so many problems. Like... PlayStation's hardly the most reliable machine in the world, is it? It's not a.
Well,
it's
the
not
Xbox
a, it's not a well, P, well, no, it's not a P51 Mustang. Like it's not.
It has.
No, it's pretty reliable.
I mean,
Xbox is. I've had four Xboxes.
I had my problems with my PS3 as I got them a year after they came out, and I've gone through about 3 of them. But I got my latest one probably 3 years ago, and I haven't had a single problem.
What I was basically trying to say was, you put all your games onto this thing, and you can't play that disc on anything anymore. The disc is worthless. and the whole thing breaks, then you lost all your
gear. I think it's going to be more like, it's going to be tied to your account. It's not going to be tied to the machine you buy.
Basically,
this is like, this has been an operation for years with Steam. I mean,
hate EA's thing when
I want to keep it to particularly consoles, because like PC, they've been doing it for years. We've all had a PC game and had to enter in a license to Steam or something to register it. And Sony, and mainly Sony, but EA games and Ubisoft games started doing it a while ago, where for multiplayer access you have to enter the code. Now, you can play the single player all you want. It's not restricting your access to the game.
It's multiplayer.
But if you want to bring it online, you need to have your online pass.
Dead Space 2 is the first like
I
that.
I had to sign up for something for Far Cry 3, Uplay or something. I don't know.
I've had that for a while. That's basically their own kind of reward system that Ubisoft have. I've had that with the Assassin's Creed
games. Give you
I don't know what the incentive is.
That's a really good idea, though, the Uplay thing. I've always liked
they reward you.
Yeah, I've always liked playing games just to unlock something that you can use on the market.
I like playing games to unlock like other weapons and other maps and stuff like that you can use in these games.
But not even
that.
These things, you can like get proper downloadable content.
But I really, really hate little trophy things. It's like, that was a big thing, though,
from Xbox. You see, they had the achievements out, and Sony were like, oh, we got to do something. People are liking this kind
really
of achievement.
I understand achievements,
thing.
To be honest. Like, I mean, you don't take them around with you. You don't walk around with them, you know.
There are people, Dave, that don't have anything else in life.
Well, they are, but I mean...
I mean, when I wake up in the morning, I expect a little ding.
But it is the most satisfying thing ever.
About consoles here now,
I think what it is years ago when you used to play games, everything was unlockables. Unlockable characters, unlockable levels, unlockable cheats and everything. Mm. So you used to have the cheat codes to skip them. But if you got to a certain level in the game, you unlocked the new character or the new level. And you were like, oh, I did really good, or some new behind-the-scenes stuff. They don't have that anymore. All the content has to be there straight away. So I suppose the trophies is a way of kind of replacing that, as in you beat this boss in 1 minute on hard difficulty, you get the trophy for it. None of your friends have it because they're not as good at the game as you.
But do your friends then go on to your little player card and look at this and go, Jesus Christ,
a lot of people
this guy
do.
Is
no, there
hardcore.
Are a lot of people.
A lot of people do really.
They don't
really
say
do
hardcore
it.
Though. They look at it just to compare and you're like, am I better than him? And then when you see, like,
am I
say,
him
Thomas
at
is
collecting the blocks.
Yeah. It's like, if he's got one more trophy than me, I'm going to get it, and I'm going to get another trophy. Yeah. That's the way it counts, as it's better than his.
Send a death threat.
I would marry the woman who would come on to my PlayStation account and said, oh my God, you did that in a minute. That just gets me where I live.
If you look, though, into the future with this whole, you can only, you know, use the disc on one machine. If you look the way downloads are going now and stuff like that, after a while, discs will be gone. Sure, places like HMV are closing down because they're sticking to the hard.
That's
sales.
One big thing. Sony are kind of. I'm a couple of places have mentioned it, but I'm pretty nearly 90% sure they're going to reveal it on during the week, saying that a lot of their stuff is going to be streamed online now for games.
Probably what will happen is that all games marketplaces and stuff like that will go the way of Steam and Origin and Uplay.
Yeah,
and the only reason you'll ever buy a disc is for special editions.
Will you buy the Steam
to be fair, like with these secondhand games being ruled out probably in the next gen, I mean, it's up to them because, like they're losing money on secondhand sales, you know, especially going through massive retail outlets like GameStop, you know, they're not making any money on secondhand game sales.
That's the big problem. That's kind of like whenever people complain about it, I've got kind of given out to about it for saying it, like on stuff like forums and say boards and stuff like that, saying that I have no problem with them trying to really implement this because I can completely understand it from a business point of view. If you make a single player game, I won't even say multiplayer because you can get the license after that. If you make a single player game and it's like 10 out of 10, go straight to the top of the charts, you're thinking, oh, I'm making money off this. Or even if it's an indie game developer, we'll do it that way. And it goes to GameStop and someone buys it brand new out of GameStop, it's like, oh, I made 60 quid off that. And then they trade it back in. And there goes your money.
Yeah.
But GameStop are making money off your game. But if they can't trade it back in, or say like someone gave it a lend to someone else, you're like, I'm not making the money off this.
The whole system is really geared towards them making a lot of money. I mean, you buy a brand new game now for 60 quid, $59.99.
But the thing about upping the price as well, it's €70 for the new ones.
If you just bought the thing off them and you turned right back around and said, actually, you know what, I don't want it, and you traded in, probably worth about €2, you know?
How much does it cost that company, we'll say, rather than just putting the data online and leaving you pay for it and download it, as opposed to making in a factory a load of discs, a load of cases?
It's a big problem I have with the PlayStation Network at the moment and their store. And Brian, you haven't even seen this.
It takes a long time to download.
Not even that it takes a long time. It's the fact that they even did it lately. What game came out about a week? Crysis 3 is coming out. yeah. right? And that's in all the shops, €55, €60, €50 in Tesco probably, whatever. On the PlayStation Store at the moment, I think it's like €70.
Yeah, €69.99 is crazy. Yeah. Now,
Black Ops is still something like $69.99 on Xbox Live. And I mean, you're paying, like, the only way I can figure it is you're paying to not have to go out to the shops.
Yeah,
you're paying an extra £20 to not have to go outside your front door.
I bought my first full price game off PlayStation Network Classic, that Ni No Kuni game. Yeah. Now, it was $59.99, so I didn't mind, you know, I bought it because I was going to pay full price anyway. But yeah, if they fix the prices, drop it a tenner, have it the prices they have in the store, I would buy in.
I think that's why Steam got so popular, is because they were able to give you the games at a discounted price, and it was the games you wanted to play, and there was a big, huge library that never, the games never left the library, there was no restrictions, and there was sales constantly. If the game you wanted wasn't on sale, you just wait till later in the year, you were in no rush, and it was always there, you could sign into your account anywhere. And you could still access the games.
But what I'm saying is how, like, with this PlayStation now, even with the Blu-rays, they're only 25 gigs for some games, like Uncharted and stuff. Like, you could imagine downloading that.
I don't know. 25 gig for Ni No Kuni.
32 or 35 gigs for Shogun Total War.
On the PC.
And I saw it and I was like, well, Jesus, that's the biggest game I downloaded. Yeah. Like, where back when I noticed it was Mass Effect 2 for the PC, and that was something like 13 gigs. But playing Shogun, you're like, where's all the data going?
It's just uncompressed. Yeah,
it's a big problem that I have with a lot of the broadband providers now as well, that they all have usage caps. Yeah. There's no such thing as unlimited broadband in Ireland at the moment. They all have a usage cap in the terms and conditions. And if you are a really, really big, say, PlayStation 4 fan when it comes out, and it is all downloads, and you're sort of like, I'm spending all this money and I'm going to download all my games, and you get a letter in the door saying you've reached your download limit.
Does it disturb anyone else that we're witnessing the death of everything physical that you can hold in your hand?
I hate this.
What Sean said earlier on is that you wouldn't be able to hold a game in your hand. Mm. Now, they're closing down places like HMV because, you know, DVDs and stuff, you can get them online, games, you can get them online, all this type of stuff. And they got into massive trouble and now they're going bankrupt. So I think, you know, there's all the emphasis now is placed on the internet sites like play.com and stuff like that. But pretty soon they won't have anything to ship out because everything is in download again. So they're just not going to.
They went completely online.
Shopping as a whole would be gone, except for shoes, obviously.
Play.com, I think, reduced what they were actually providing.
No, they were getting away with tax free because I think they're based on Jersey. Yeah, basically, they've closed up that loophole. It's not as cheap anymore. People don't use it as much. Yeah. I think Amazon is probably the best retailer now online.
I don't mind downloading directly from the people who made the game. But if I, like, say for the PlayStation, if it comes out, if they set up some kind of thing where, like, say Uncharted, and like if I could download the game on my PlayStation straight from Naughty Dog, give them the £50, whatever, I was like, I have no problem doing that. But if I have to go through the PlayStation Store where it's going to be $65 or $70, it's like, why am I going to do that if I could buy it off, say, Amazon or something for $55?
People are getting a monopoly now in this kind of thing, like Steam and like the major sites. Because if a site pops up offering downloads for games, you're not going into a shop giving someone your money and getting the thing in your hand. You're in good faith sending off your money and hoping the download will work.
I don't mind people at places like Steam as well, though, because they do kind of represent
they have a reputation.
They have a reputation and they do represent a lot of the indie stuff as well.
What I'm saying is they'll close off the market. So you'll have these three people who everybody trusts, and they'll, rather than risking sending your money off to some new competitor, they'll just stick with these people and pay
the higher
price.
I think that's part of why HMV did go down, though, because they didn't adapt to online at all. I didn't know until they closed. They had an online
store. If there's no competition, no prices are going to stick.
No, but the problem is HMV had an online store.
Yeah.
But it was crap.
But secondarily.
GameStop have an online store. And I, like, for a long time, I was using GameStop's online site. You get it for maybe a fiver cheaper than you would in the shop. And they deliver it the day it comes out, or sometimes even the day before. And it's literally click, 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 three clicks, there you go, your game's ordered, here's your receipt.
If you're downloading just for the PlayStation, just from Xbox, and just from the Nintendo, basically that rules out Amazon completely, because they're not going to. There's not going to be price.
What will happen is in the future they're going to be selling, rather than like physical discs, they'll sell the retail the code for the game. Yeah. You know, like a PlayStation card.
They're doing it now with Steam.
Yeah, exactly. Now they're going to have for games themselves. You know, say a PlayStation game. Say I wanted to buy a new wrestling game or FIFA game. I'm pretty sure we're just going to be able to get a CD key and just pop it into our, you know, pop it into the PlayStation and download the game.
I was wondering
what was that site you were talking about there before? Remember, you kind of get the Russian copies. You can get them from
G2 Play.
G2 Play.
Yeah, you can get them for nothing, basically. All you do is get the code.
It just dawned on me there. That's going to stop rentals as well.
You're right, actually, yeah.
Because there's Extravision fucked.
There's Extravision gone.
Well, I mean, they're fucked anyway. I mean,
yeah. Well, actually, to be honest, they still sell a lot of kind of renting games, especially. You don't kind of want to try out a game before you buy it. It's nearly 60
quid. Actually, I mean, that would be the death of death of rentals nearly altogether. Then, because I mean, if HMV, the giant of HMV, is gone now.
Unless they start selling some sort of rental key where you enter in the key and you have it, you can play the key for 7 days. Yeah. They do it with the PlayStation at the moment. You know the way you can, for some games, you can download a trial of it.
Yeah.
And you basically
download.
That's
free though.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. It's free. You download it, you can play it for an hour. And if you like it, then you can go buy the game.
They do that kind of with the Sky Go thing. Do you know where basically, or Sky On Demand, sorry, where you literally download the film, but when. You could have it on your hard drive for about a week or two, and the minute you play it, then your 24 hours starts.
Actually, you know, those ads on the television drive me up the goddamn wall because they keep using that same little crap background music. It's like dun, 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 dun. It's like, oh, I can watch it on my phone and it doesn't get interrupted when I'm on the tube. It's like dun, 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 dun,
why would like if you can afford to watch a film like that on your phone, what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, who's on the train that long, to be honest? Yeah. I mean, and if you're on the train
that
long, you're
probably going
to
somewhere
like you know?
Siberia or something.
Yeah, exactly.
To be put in a gulag and they've left you your phone.
I films today because, actually, you know what? I watch all my films on my phone all the time when I'm at work.
I used to watch them on the television, but then, you know, I just wanted to go outside.
It's up there with the PlayStation achievements, to be honest. That's a sad way of living.
I'll wrap it up there in the games pre-owned argument. To ask you if the new Xbox and the new PlayStation have a thing on them where you cannot play pre-owned games, would you still buy it?
I don't really play pre-owned ones anyway because you kind of get the Dead Space 3s and all that kind of stuff or the Far Cry. So you're literally looking at them. You always kind of get the new ones.
I'm not
ones.
Really sure that. I think now we could be getting. Would it be sacrilege to say a bit old for this shit? In the words of Murtaugh from Lethal Weapon, because I'm not quoting John McClane anymore.
Well, it's just it's one of those natural evolution things, really, isn't it? The downloads. I mean, the candle shop closes when electricity comes along.
I think. Yeah, like exactly, I'll be getting the next PlayStation or next Xbox. I mean, they've done it gently to us, you know. They've eased it in with the DLC codes, the online passes. I think, they've prepared
they've
us for
the... They've groomed us before they bring us home.
No, here's the question.
You know, in fairness, it is a gentle rape, and you know, those are the best kind, to be honest.
Well, I think
as you're lying there crying, he just leaves a flower on you.
Basically, are you not going to buy the PlayStation 4 just because, no matter what they do, you're going to buy it regardless? So
I can see some people giving out about it. I can see GameStop launching some campaign, but it's something we can go into completely another time when we do know more about the actual PlayStation 3 or Xbox. It'll only be 2 weeks and then we'll be running into E3. We'll know a lot more then. I'm going to wrap it up here on now. We're nearly up on time. We have a lot of time. We spent a lot of it talking. So I'll say thank you to Kieran, thank you to Sean, thank you to Brian, thank you to David, and I'll say thank you very much to WLRFM for using the studios as well. Thank you for listening, and hopefully we'll be back pretty soon with another podcast pending.
Good night.